Welcome to Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry, a program dedicated to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless, advocating Christian families to adopt and get involved with foster care here in the Capital District, as well as globally, and encouraging and supporting those who've heard and heeded the call of James 1:27.
This is how we know what love is. Jesus Christ laid down his life for us, and we ought to lay down our lives for our brothers and sisters. If anyone has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need, but has no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and in truth. That is from 1 John 3:16 through 18. I'm Sandra Flack, Executive Director of Justice for Orphans Ministry, and your host today of Orphans No More. My guest, joining us via Skype from South Africa, is Monica Woodhouse, Executive Director of Give a Child a Family. Welcome, Monica.
Thank you very much, Sandra.
Thank you. It's an honor to have you on the show. And let's just start at the beginning. Monica, how did you first become involved in orphan ministry?
My parents are missionaries, and they came out from Sweden in 1948 as missionaries, and were working in South Africa since that time. And I really knew at the age of 15 that God had called me into some sort of work with children, not really understanding what and how. At the age of 17, I landed up starting to work at a children's home just out of passion for children, and soon discovered that working with children in a children's home, that children's homes were not for children. And that really devastated me to see the trauma these children were going through, the devastation of separation from their families and not being connected. And then when they're 18, kind of given a 100 rand or $10 to go out and kind of find their life. And I just cried before God as young as what I was, because I'd grown up in a very protected family environment. And I said, God, something has to be different. Something has to change. It's not these children's fault that they're in this situation, but somehow we just need to find a way that we can actually minister to these families that really need the help. And I then met a wonderful man, Basil Woodhouse, and we got married, and we were both passionate about serving God and using our own facilities and our own home. And we opened up our home and we started ministering, working for the mission already in 1980. We started working with children in South Africa at a school, at a hostel, for these school, the children. And at that point, we were really exposed and to the devastation of the situation in South Africa of children, for the abuse, women being abused, children and broken families. And then in the 80s, we were also really facing towards the end of the 80s and the beginning of the 90s, we were really faced with the whole HIV AIDS and AIDS situation. And we started crying before God. I know that that scripture that you read earlier was one of the scriptures that really said, how can we say that the love of God is in our hearts and we're not doing anything? And so we basically just said, God, how can we help? What can we do? We only have a house. We only have a few rooms. What can we do? And we just felt that God said that just open up your home and allow people to come into your home and share your house. And we did so. And we had like all the rooms outside were full, and we had people and women in the community came running with just luggage on their heads because they'd been thrown out of their homes for political civil war. And we just started doing what we could. And we had our own little three girls by 1985. We had three little girls and of our own. And we'd bought a caravan that we were going to use just sort of to get away a little bit sometimes from all this. And we we'd used it once. And then one day I'm sitting at home and I hear a knock on the door and I hear my husband talking to someone and I'm saying, God, no, not the caravan. No, you can't take the caravan. And next thing I hear him say, oh, well, there's a caravan in our yard that you can use. So that was the first of four caravans that we bought. And we just started opening up and using what we had just to serve God. And we just saw the incredible need. Then in 1988, we were given a little note at church. I got from somebody that I still don't know who it was from today, a little note, and in there was like $2. And it said, God has told me to give this money to you. And like, okay, God, what do you want us to do with this money? If you've given this money, you want something to be done with it. And we heard so clearly that God said, put it into a savings account for a care center one day. And that seemed like really ridiculous, you know, these adults putting in this little $2 into an account, and that just didn't make any sense. However, my husband being, he was a businessman at the time, and he was running his own business, and we were just serving God, and we moved into a house in Port Shepstone, and within 6 months, we were 27 people living in our house with our girls, and we were five, and the others, there were 22. And we just started seeing how God was using the family and the family structures, and just God just started using us. And we then realized that there was a need for a place where we could really bring children, families into to be cared for. So we, a lady came to me and said, "Oh, I believe you're really into helping children and families." I said, "Yeah, we are." So she said, "Oh, there's such a need for that. We must really organize something." And I said, "Okay." I said, "I'll tell you what. I'll organize the tea and cake. You bring the people." And that was in the 1991 when that happened. And in 1992, we registered an organization called the Place of Restoration, because we realized that there was a desperate need for a place for children and families or people to come, sort of like an ICU, a temporary sort of safe care, while one is sort of trying to work out the trauma and trying to work out some of the situations. And so we then we registered this organization as a welfare organization, and we just started saying to God, okay, well, that's, you know, looking for a place. And eventually we found a place. 6 years later, the money in that account had gone to like 9,000 rand and was about, $90 or something. And it was like, okay, God, what are we going to do now, you know? And we just prayed and said, God, if this is your plan for us to have this property, there was absolutely nothing on the property. And 6 weeks later, when we came to buy the property, we had enough money to buy the property. And today we are running a ministry there called Give a Child Family, where children come in on a temporary basis to be cared for. There was a huge influx of children coming in the 80s, 90s, and early 2000s with the whole HIV and orphan situation. What we discovered was a lot of children, although the welfare system wanted the children to be only to be there temporarily, the social workers are so overwhelmed that these children just kind of landed up staying there, and kind of this whole thing of children not being left there the dream of that started dwindling. And so we prayed again and said, Lord, there must be a way. We've got to find a way. And so in the late 90s and early 2000s, we started developing a program called Give a Child a Family, which was a foster care program, because there wasn't anything sort of registered, any foster care registered in Africa or in South Africa. And we started looking at the whole African community and saying that, because we knew exactly how it worked, and the whole aspect of what we call Ubuntu. Ubuntu is, it's your child is my child, is our child. And as much as Africa is totally community-based, in the sense that, you know, it's family, community, it's not the individualistic society that we have in the Western world. And so we started really just picking on these aspects and trying to bring in the best of both worlds. And we developed a program, a foster care program, an aftercare program, a support group program. And we developed a whole program around foster care, training, recruiting the families, screening and assessing them, teaching social workers how to do that, working then with putting, once the parents had been trained, they get put into a bank. And even today, we have a bank of about 30 parents waiting for children. So when there's a child that's in need of a family, we were able to match these children with the families. And then from the process of being in, after they've been screened and in a bank, we start a matching process, an introduction process. And then from there, we also do what we call support, post-placement support, where we continue with a family. We walk with a family for many years, for as long as they need it. We walk with them, with our social services, and our we don't give anything financially, but we're able to support psychosocially and whatever their needs might be in that area.
Mm. So Monica, what is the vision of your ministry at this point? The vision of Give a Child a Family.
The vision of Give a Child a Family is children in secure families, not just any family. So for us, it's really important that a child is that the families are secure and able to really take in a child, and that is sometimes a challenge for us here in Africa, because a lot of families do take in their sort of grandchildren, or they take in their nieces and nephews, but they're not often very secure families themselves, or they're not really wanting that child, but they're kind of forced to because of the culture. And so we then, as a result of that, we also started looking at how can we strengthen those families who really have taken in these children, who have to kind of, out of duty, take these children. Often the children that would come to us were children who'd been abused in these kind of families because they were a burden, they were treated as slaves, they weren't treated the same as the other children, they didn't get to go to school. So we started developing a program called of parenting skills for these families, as well as what we do is we go to the social workers and we work together with them or churches and say, give us a group of vulnerable families that already have got these children. And we then started working with them. And over 2 years, we work with these families. Parenting skills to coping with death and trauma, because we also realize that most families in Africa have experienced trauma in one way or another, and so they're often not able to move on. There's all this baggage, all the stuff, and all the just had to be strong for everyone else, and these mamas never got to the place where they could actually deal with the pain and hurt. So we do that, and then we also do what we call healthy living, which is got five aspects to it. It's the spirit, soul, body, sort of the healthy, it's economy, a bit of a health of the economy, HIV and AIDS, the moral aspect of that. We deal with aspects of salvation and what that means, and just giving the families an opportunity to understand what salvation is all about. Mm-hmm. But also the physical thing of poverty, why people continually stay in poverty. We bring up a lot of discussions and issues around the culture and cultures and some of the challenges that we all face in our different cultures and why they affect us the way they do. And then some of the families also went on to do some food garden programs, so they were able to do their own food gardens and provide food and sustenance for their own families.
Mm. So these are tremendous family strengthening programs that you've created. And though you've began right there in South Africa where you are, the ministry has expanded to several other African countries. Where else are you establishing these programs?
We are working with programs in Swaziland, Namibia, Mozambique, Zambia, Tanzania, Burundi, Rwanda, Ethiopia, Uganda, and Central African Republic. There are various different things that we do, and Kenya as well. We have an office in Kenya. And so in different countries, we do different things depending on the need of the country. Sometimes we work with organizations, sometimes with churches, sometimes we work with governments. Because of our program being foster care and the UN guidelines of alternative care, the whole aspect of the alternative care and what that is all about. So we have also established sort of a foothold in that 2009, we had a conference in Kenya where we started talking with Africa, for Africa, about the whole foster care and family strengthening programs.
Incredible work. I just want to remind our listeners that this is Orphans No More, a radio extension of Justice for Orphans Ministry. To learn more about adoption, foster care, and global orphan care, visit our website at justicefororphansny.org. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and my guest today joining us via Skype from South Africa is Monica Woodhouse. So if it sounds a little bit like you're fading in and out, it's just the technology, but we just give God the glory for the technology because we can have these conversations from South Africa to New York. So Monica is Executive Director of Give a Child a Family, a ministry dedicated to seeing children in secure families. So Monica, part of what you do is engage the local church in caring for orphans and families. Share with us about that.
Well, we really believe that the church is the answer to the orphan problem, because yes, we've always said, imagine we would have no orphans if every Christian family would just take one orphan.
Amen.
And care for them effectively. And so for us, it was when we started by going into the churches and recruiting families and really helping them to understand the need for caring for these orphans, and just not even just orphans, vulnerable children at risk. And so that is what we do that. We also work in the churches on a social justice program, because we come to understand a lot of churches don't understand about children's rights. They don't see that as a Christian sort of responsibility. You know, that's a worldly concept. And so we go in and we really try and help them understand about why we need children's rights and the whole social justice aspects of that. So a lot of the countries we're working with huge church boards, church leadership on the whole aspect of social justice and the whole need for us as a church to be aware and keep our children safe and have policies around child protection when we have missions visiting us or volunteers that come and work with us, making sure that children are safe. So it's really just a whole awareness program that we really sort of promote child protection, child care, and really that it is God's heart. God's heart for us is to care for these orphans and the widows, as according to James 1:27. And so we're passionate about doing that and sharing with them in every aspect of it. It's our responsibility that children's lives matters, and that we really, really need to be, we need to be the forerunners and stop being the sleeping giants in this process, but really be the forerunners in this problem and the children at risk that we're sitting with in throughout the world. It's not just in Africa. I know it's in many other countries too.
Yes, it is. It definitely is. We see the same thing here in the States. And I like I like what you said about we need to be the forerunners instead of the sleeping giants. So, Monica, will you share with us a success story that you've experienced in your work?
Yeah, I have many. And the one that just comes to mind very quickly is as a part of our introduction with the children, we make sure that the parents come and visit the children at the center first and kind of get exposed to that. And one day a few times the mother had been, but the father had not been. And the one day the father was coming to visit the little boy who was at our center, and the boy had heard about the fact that, well, we hadn't told him about the father coming, but he knew the mother was coming. And as they came through the gate, he saw them both, and he just, this little four-year-old ran his little legs off up into the arms of this burly Zulu man, and he kind of just put his arms around his neck and he hugged him and wasn't going to let go. And this man just started crying, tears flowing down his cheeks. And he said, and he looked at me and he says, "You don't know how long I've been waiting for this." Mm. And it was like, there's just such an opportunity where God just puts people together who need each other.
Yeah.
And anyway, then he sort of looks and the little boy starts playing with these keys and he says to him, "You see these keys, my boy? One day these will be yours." They went on from fostering to adopting this little boy, not without their challenges, but, and they kind of just said, "Listen, you know, we'll keep in touch, but we want to become as normal a family as possible, and they didn't want him like exposed to being sort of, this is an adopted child. They wanted him to feel like he was their child, you know. Mm-hmm. So and another little one where we went to go and visit one little boy after he'd been put into foster care for about 6 months, and we would go regularly, but this one time I went with just to go and see, and because I love being in the community with the people. And so I pick him up and I'm about to go and I'm saying goodbye. Well, I'm about to say goodbye, and he says to me, and he's 3 years old, and he said to me, "You go, me stay." And I just knew that was like such a beautiful sign for me, is that I can go, I'm happy here, you come staying, I'm not going anywhere. And yeah, it's just and beautiful, and now starting to connect, people are starting to connect with me on Facebook, some of the children, and saying, "Auntie Monica, thank you so much, that time that we had with you changed our lives, our family." And it's just beautiful to experience and see the hardships that these children go through. But you know, in the program that we have at the center, we really try and build in resilience. We tell the children, life sucks out there, it's horrible, it can be terrible, but you know what, you've got a Jesus that walks with you. And we try and build resilience into them, teaching them some coping skills in this process. We also had a little boy that came in. He was probably about 7 months old, and he'd been used to being on the back of a mother's back, and he just cried and cried and cried. And eventually, we found out that he'd been found by the waterside here by the sea. So we called him Moses because he was found by the water. Anyway, so long story short, we really tried very hard for about 2 years to see if we could find and establish who the mother was. And we were about to put him into foster care when we actually came across the fact there was some sort of contact with what they thought was the mother. So we allowed her to come and visit him to see, and we were going to investigate if she was the real mother. And she immediately recognized the little strawberry mark on his back, and they just connected immediately, and this little boy never left her side for the whole week that she stayed with us. And she could bath him, and only this, and only she could do certain things. But then we were going to take him home together with the mother, and we drove about 2 hours away from here to drive them home. And when we got after the court and everything, they then went to the house and going to drop her and him at the house. This whole neighborhood was standing there waiting for little Moses to come back. Mm-hmm. And when they drove in, the grandfather took the boy and he was introduced to him as Moses. And he said, "What, Moses?" Because Moses wasn't his real name. He had another name. And then he took his name and said, "Do you know that Moses is my name?" said the grandfather. "And from now on, I'm going to call him Moses." And it was just the most beautiful reunification that we had with the family, and where he went back to his own family through very traumatic situation that had happened to him. And he was able to, and there we had called him Moses because of where he'd been found. And here was the grandfather who was also called Moses. And we just thought it's amazing just how God works in these little situations.
Incredible. I love your work there. And Monica, as we wrap up today, what is on your heart that you really want our listeners to take away from our conversation?
Danny Silk has a book called Just Keep Your Love On, or Keep Your Love On. And I was thinking about that. You know, that is something that we as foster parents, adoptive parents, we can never, ever, ever, ever give up on any of our children. We went on to foster the five children who've become part of our family. They're with us forever. They're forever families. And we know we've experienced it. It's tough. It's rough. It's difficult. You'll be days where you think, "Why did I even do this?" Mm-hmm. But you know, I really believe Jesus gave his all for us, and we're going to be celebrating that this weekend. And grace cost Jesus everything. And for me, it's about the grace. How do we show grace to others? And how do we show grace to these young ones and these little ones that come into our care? And if I can just say that the little bit of suffering I've had to experience as a result of that, I would do it again and again and again. And I would really want to just say, don't ever give up. It's tough. And open your hearts. Allow God to heal your own heart so that you can receive children into your families. Because there is nothing more precious than family to God.
Mm. He set the lonely in families.
He sets the lonely in families. And we, that's what he's created. God created families for children to grow up in and not in institutions. And I will fight that until the day I die, that God's intention of institutions was never to replace the family.
That's right. That is right. So thank you, Monica, for all that you are doing in South Africa and in Africa in general, and for standing for the family, for children to be in families, because that is what God intended. Thank you. Thank you. And thank you for joining us today.
Yeah. Thank you so much for inviting me. And I really appreciate it. And I'm really, really so grateful to God for this opportunity. Thank you, Sandra.
Oh, thank you. And if you would like to learn more about Monica's ministry, Give a Child a Family, you can visit their website at www.gcf.org.z as in zebra, A as in apple. So that's for Give a Child a Family. The website again is www.gcf, which is would be Give Child Family, gcf.org.z as in zebra, A as in apple. And thank you all for joining us today. We hope you enjoyed this show. And if you would like to listen to more episodes of Orphans No More, you can find them on our website at justicefororphansny.org. Just click on Radio Show to find the menu of shows by guest and topic. You can also help us continue our radio ministry by making a tax-deductible gift to Justice for Orphans. We are a 501c3 all-volunteer-run organization, so your gifts go straight to the work of JFO. Our mission is to rally the church for the cause of the fatherless. Justice for Orphans inspires, equips, and educates the body of Christ toward adoption, foster care, and global orphan care initiatives. I'm your host, Sandra Flack, and I would love to come to your church and share about why and how we must walk out James 1:27. So you can contact me also at our website. And again, that's justicefororphansny.org.
Thank you for supporting this program by listening today, sharing what you've heard, and praying for orphans and children in need everywhere. More information is available at justicefororphansny.org. Visit and discover how you can make a difference in a child's life. And be sure to tune in to Orphans No More next Friday.